Hey there, it's Colin McDonald from the band The Trues. You are listening to Music's Journey podcast with my friend, Tim Sear.
A snippet of the latest single, Enemy, by the rock band The Trues. It is the latest single off their seventh studio album, Wanderer. The single changes up for the band, with lead guitarist John Angus writing and singing the lead vocals for this single. The song's perspective is of the enemy, but more of the universal enemy, the one within. The Trues are getting back to it. They are doing what they do best, and that is hitting the road and playing live. The band have lined up several headlining dates across Canada this spring and summer, alongside support slots in Toronto with Black Crows and St. John's, Newfoundland for Stone Temple Pilots. Excited about hitting the road, they cannot wait to bring all the songs for Wanderer to the stages across Canada this spring and summer. The album is full of their fiercest and most accomplished rock album yet, full of great live material, and they cannot wait to be able to bring it out to you. So get ready for it, True fans. They want to play. Here to talk about the brand new music video release with their latest single, Enemy, and to talk about their Across Canada tour, the I Wanna Play tour, is lead singer Colin McDonald from the Canadian rock and roll heavyweights, The Trues. Hi, Colin.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How about you?
Pretty good.
Oh, you must be so excited with all this weather opening and everybody's just getting ready to do all these live shows. You guys are getting ready to hit the road.
Yeah, it's going to be at the end of the month. May 24th is the first date, so we're actually just rehearsing for it this morning. So yeah, it's starting to feel real.
Oh, I can imagine. It's been a long time coming.
Yeah, it certainly has.
Oh, you guys have been so busy in the studio and helping with other artists, and that your ears must have been burning, because we've been talking about you so much on the show in this last year.
Oh, that's good to know.
Yeah, for both you and John. You know, it's been you guys have been super busy in the studio and helping quite a few of the artists that we've had on the show.
Yeah, we're it's like one of the things I like to do is work with up and coming bands and hopefully, you know, help them along the way. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's also pretty inspiring for me too as a kind of I've been doing it for a long time, so it's always nice to hear like the way new people on the scene are doing things. It shakes things up for me as well.
The Weapons, you've had them on tour with you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have. Yeah. They're going to be doing our Canadian tour. Yeah. Most of the Canadian tour, they're going to be opening. So yeah, oh. we wrote a bunch with those guys over Zoom during the pandemic, and they had a couple of successes with those songs, and that's really cool. They're really, really good guys and a great live band. So
I absolutely love them. I think I've had them on three times now with their music, and just such a fan of theirs, and you've really, really done an awful lot with them. They talk so highly of you guys and all the work that you've done with them, so they absolutely adore you.
Awesome. It's nice to hear.
It has been a while since I've interviewed you backstage. Too long.
Yeah, when was the last time? Okay, where was that?
Toronto.
Toronto. What gig was it?
Was back at Edgefest.
Okay, cool. Well,
yeah.
Good to talk to you again.
Yeah, it's been a while. But at least things have opened up and you guys are getting ready to the tour. You've added some other dates to the tour too.
Yeah, there's some stuff coming up last minute, just like places that wanted shows, and there was an opening on the calendar, so we decided to go through with it. I mean, we like to play, especially when you're out on tour, especially in Canada, it's like it's better to be playing than not, so we like to fill up our as many shows as we can during the week and play a bunch, and spread the music
that's
around.
Right, spreading a little bit of the the true magic. We miss you guys live. It's just one thing that's a staple for me every single year is to be able to see you guys play, and I miss it.
It's been really strange, like for the last 2 years, not being able to go out and play. It's definitely getting long in the tooth, and like we tried to deal with it as much as best we could, just like everybody else. We did a lot of writing, did a lot of like live streams and like reaching out to the fans over like obviously over social media and stuff, but nothing can replace the live shows, and like we're really feeling it now. Like we really want to get out and do what we do, and that's and we're hoping that it all goes smooth, hopefully the COVID numbers can stay under control and we can not get sick and great gigs,
Time it would knock you guys down out of a few dates, right?
Yeah, for sure. We're gonna exercise every precaution and do our best. It seems like it's a little bit of like a little bit of luck of the draw. It's kind of random. It seems like no matter how much people are trying to avoid it, people are still getting it. So I mean, we'll see. It's been one day at a time since, well, really it's only ever been one day at a time, but it's definitely felt more so like one day at a time since March 2020. So we're just trying to keep our heads on and just keep doing what we can do given the circumstances and proceed accordingly, and hope for the best, be ready for the worst, and bottom line is when we get to play, just play the best show that we can play.
You guys must be so excited to be able to finally get out there and play this album live, because Wander is, to me, it is one of the best albums you've ever put out.
Oh, thank you so much. I agree. and I think that like it came out in November, and we were supposed to get out and promote it in January because that was the original tour, and that would have, so it felt like the album came out and then we got stuck inside again because of a variant. But I think it's a great record, and I think it's going to work really well live. Like all the songs are kind of built to be played live, so I'm really excited. And the few shows that we have done, anytime we play the new stuff, it really really works, so that's always exciting.
It reminds me, because I've been covering you guys now for over 20 years, and when I seen you guys play in the beginning, when I first saw you guys, this album kind of takes me back a little bit, with the guitar playing, and it's just, I'm really, really digging this one. I love it. Absolutely love it.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I've heard people say like it's like sounds like an old kind of Trues kind of sound, and I guess that wasn't that intentional, but I'm certainly glad that that's kind of the way people are feeling it, And I think really the reason why is because we just kind of went back to like jamming together and recording it. Like the album before that, we kind of made just piecemeal, like everybody playing at different times and stuff, and like over like a lot of like ideas that were kind of just born in the studio, and we weren't really jamming very much as a band. But on this record, everything was, it was all four guys or five guys, because if Jeff joined us on the recordings, just playing together and then just picking the best take, which is what we used to do back in the day anyway. So that probably gives people that old feeling.
Yeah, and I think like you would have, just getting ready to just being so excited about music, period, and the love of playing, and that's what you feel, in a lot of like Permission, holy cow, you can really feel it in that one. There's so many, and it's such a great album.
I agree, and like I think that it's like something that's missing from a lot of the new bands is like they're not playing with that abandonment, and like I feel like that's kind of part of the story of what people connect to with the Trues. It's like the songs are great, but it's the way the songs are played and the way the songs are played together and the energy that creates on recording. And that's kind of the magical part of being in a band. It's like, it's not supposed to be perfect. It's just supposed to be awesome. And it's really hard to define what's awesome. It's not just a perfectly executed pop song. There's too many of those anyway. Mm-hmm. But it's like, you want to have something that's just got its own unique charm, and it hits you, it hits your heart. You don't have to think about it too much, And that's kind of what we wanted to do on this record.
Now, you went to Nashville to start recording Wander.
Yeah.
And you recorded the first three, or had them produced there with Rich. Yeah. Tell us about that and what took place, because obviously everything got shut down and that kind of messed things up getting recorded there.
Yeah, that was the beginning of the, December of 2019 was when we officially decided we're going to start the record. We had won this songwriter competition out of America for a song off our album Civilian Airs, and we won some studio time at a really great Nashville studio, and I'm forgetting the name of it right now, but it'll come back to me. But we had a few days. We've known Rich Robinson for years. He's a really good buddy to my brother, and we've all been long time Black Crowes fans because they're like the one of the last greatest rock and roll bands of all time, kind of going. And they you know, we always talked about the idea of Rich producing some tracks for us because he does some production, and we just wanted to get a little bit of that flavor on the Trues sound, you know, like get Rich. I mean, we collaborated with him in the past. He played on one of our EPs called Thank You and I'm Sorry. So yeah, we ended up down in Nashville in December. Like, we were on tour, we had played in Ireland, and then we got off tour and then drove right down to Nashville to start recording. And those were like, we had a bunch of half finished songs, and we started jamming in like the kind of like the cafeteria, like the coffee room of the studio. And then we go into the big live room and just set up and rework the songs on the spot, you know, change some melodies around, like poach verses from one song and put it in another song with a different chorus. I know that's how Permission came about, and like, and Hidden Gem, which is another song we did down there, that came from a couple of different ideas. It was very creative and very live and very spontaneous. And even Rich kind of joined us on, Rich joined us on guitar on a couple of the tunes, and you can really hear it. It's amazing. And yeah, that was the beginning of the record. And the plan was, we're going to come back to Toronto for, you know, come back to Canada for Christmas. And then we were going to do a tour. You know, we did a tour in February of 2020, and then in March we were going to get back down to Nashville and do like six or seven more songs. I think most of the record would have been produced by Rich, but the pandemic happened, and then we couldn't do any of that. So that changed all the plans. So in March, everything went on pause, and then we didn't know what we were going to do. So all of a sudden, you know, like everybody else, we were, you know, trying to figure out a way forward, and we started doing sessions over Zoom and all that. And then obviously we couldn't get back down to the States to work with Rich. So we had to think about other ideas of how to make this record happen. And so that's the beginning of it.
Well, you also worked with Derek Hoffman, and then you finished working with Eric as well for Rats, right? So
that's what happened. Like, as soon as we got back to as soon as, you know, we were in lockdown for a couple of months, and like in the early stages of lockdown, we couldn't even get together, any of us. So we were all in different places, and you know, on a couple of different business calls with my manager and my brother, we were like, well, we got to figure out how to make this record. So we decided to ask Derek if he would do a couple songs, and then we wanted to get another few, and then we wondered if, you know, Eric Ratz would be able to do it. So we figured, let's just do this record with different producers, because the way things are going, there's no way we can finish it all with Rich. And so yeah, that ended up leading to, you know, two or three Zoom writing sessions with Derek, myself, Janangus, and Jack. And that was over Zoom. We were just throwing out ideas that we had written at home during the pandemic. And then that led to a session in August of 2020, when the restrictions lifted a bit, and we could go to Jukasa Studios just in Caledonia outside of Hamilton here. And we laid down three more songs with Derek. And that's how we got halfway, like the record was halfway finished by then. And then we went back into it was like after we finished in the studio in August, we went back to John Angus's place, like we could all get together in small groups, and we started working on the rest of the record, and that was September, October of 2020. We wrote a bunch of new songs, and then we sent those songs to Eric Ratz, and he's like, okay, I can produce these songs, which was six other songs, and he produced them in November of 2020, and then by December the record was done. So it was definitely a roundabout way of making a record, but we didn't expect a global pandemic.
That's right. And a lot of good things came from, and you know, like it's, you have to look at the silver lining in a bad situation, right? And when you're looking at the album, there's a lot of songs that never would have happened if you guys didn't go through all this, right?
Yeah, like the first single wouldn't happen. Like, I Want to Play was that wouldn't have happened had it not been the pandemic. And yeah, like, God, yeah, half the record wouldn't have been written the way it was, because you can definitely hear the difference between the songs that were written before the pandemic and then the records, the songs after the pandemic. They got a lot more serious because life got a lot more serious. And yeah, things just got, yeah, really out of whack really quick. And
what's the one thing that you learned about yourself during this pandemic?
Oh, God. You know, relying on the adulation of crowds and relying on people loving what you do as a big contributing factor into your sense of self is very dangerous. I think you have to be a I think you have to be an actualized, well-rounded human being, and enjoy. If people enjoy what you're doing, then that's great, but you cannot define yourself
By
solely
that,
by that. And I
yeah.
bet you that probably hit a lot of guys in my and girls in my position. You're so used to getting that hit of the crowd. And I mean, let's I mean, I've been doing that in like our first successes were in the early 2000s. So I've been really, really fortunate to be able to experience that a lot over 20 years. And you realize, like, when you go into a pandemic and you're my age, and it's like, oh man, like I really rely on a lot of my identity through this band because it's what I do all the time, and it's thrilling and it's amazing, and like how lucky are we that we have a job where people applaud us for doing it? You know, like there's no other jobs like that. You know, you don't go work at Starbucks and people go, yeah, yay, good coffee. Like they don't do that, right? Like a lot of work sucks, and a lot of work is like really hard, and it's really like you don't get, all this positive feedback all the time. And we're kind of spoiled brats in successful bands because we get, we get people to go sing along with our songs and they love it and they're
They're
really into it.
diehard
Like what,
fans, yeah.
yeah, what an absolute, what an absolute privilege, you know? And I think that like when we went into the pandemic, I just started to realize like, oh man, like that was such a big part of my identity. And now I'm just at home, singing into an iPhone sometimes if I'm doing like a live stream or something. And yeah, I just realized how much of I had to kind of build myself back up as a person that just didn't rely on going out and, have a thousand people screaming for me or something like that, you know? So, or my band. And yeah, I mean, like I miss it. I love doing it, but I had to like kind of make sure there was a version of me that wasn't just the singer of the Trues, and that's and that came out a lot in the pandemic. And I'll bet if you talk to a lot of musicians, they probably have felt the same way.
Well, I think too, like you guys have been, around for a long time. So it's different when you, are just starting out. They might be together 5 years and then, hey, they start going different ways and exploring different things. But when you guys have been together this long, it says something in itself, about the relationship, the brotherhood, with all of you and the respect that you guys have for your craft. It would be really tough after 20 years if, if this got worse and things were gonna take an awful lot longer for the world to open up and stuff. We just haven't been around anything like that. And a lot of people in radio, a lot of us, we're losing jobs. And we just didn't have, the same opportunities at certain ages either to be able to turn around and start fresh. So many people were out of work and just were lost, completely lost.
Well, it's that's so true, and like it really made I think a lot of us realize like how much of without sounding too weird like how much we rely on essentially illusions of ourselves, you know, and the idea that whether you're in radio or television or any of the entertainment things, like how much you kind of rely on, somewhat of a false self. I mean, you kind of need it, whether you're a like an entertainer, some kind of personality. And then when that's gone and you're not getting that, and you've been doing it for so long, it's an existential crisis any which way you look at it, you know? And if you can be brave and go through it, there's a lot there to learn, you know? It's just hard. And but everything worth doing is hard. And I think I mean, I know I had to tell myself that, like, you don't ever learn from the great easy times. You always learn from the hard times.
Exactly, it's
And
what pushes us, right?
yeah, it's just that the hard times with the pandemic, I think they just went on a lot longer and they went way deeper than people thought because we have never experienced it, you know?
Not in our
So,
lifetime, right?
and we're still in it. We have to remind ourselves that there's still a pandemic and we can't like let our guard down totally. Like I keep saying we're in like the last hour of a 24-hour car trip, and the last hour always feels the longest anyway. But yeah, it wasn't easy on any of us, and I feel for everyone. And yeah, and in our case, like you said, it wasn't like, oh, like we were just dabbling in this band thing. We had a whole 20-year career and all these things that we kind of relied on for our livelihood, you know, for everything, mm-hmm. and to have that kind of just taken away out of nowhere. And the funny thing is, for all the ways that a music career can end, which is a lot of ways, like, you know, music careers don't usually last very long, and like a lot of stuff happens, like there's drug problems and breakups and all kinds of reasons why bands don't last. And to think that it was going to be a flu, it's like, oh, that's going to be the thing.
Never crossed anybody's mind. No. You know,
and it's so funny. And as a result, you know, we're like, oh, well, we didn't see that coming. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I don't know about your world, but in our world, we were like, well, we have to keep doing this because we have to keep making. Like, it was like, it was never a question of not doing it anymore. It was just a question of like, how do we keep this going? And like, mm-hmm. I think that every guy in my band was like, that was the reaction. It wasn't like, ah, oh, fuck it, let's just go do something else. It was like, no, we have to get this record done. We have to turn this into something, because that's what we've always done anyway. Mm-hmm. And that's what we did. And I'm proud of it, but it's like, we're still in the woods. We're still in the forest. It's still kind of, you know, it's not, I'm not going to quote the Dylan line, it's not dark yet, but it's getting there. It's not light yet, but it's getting there. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we have to just, you know,
That's why I started doing the podcast, because no matter what, people still needed the music. They needed to hear the stories. They needed to hear what their favorite bands, you know, the people they look up to when they're going through hard times, good times, you know, in between times, what everybody's feeling. And that's why I started this, because I already had the magazine going, but it's just, you know, to be able to do this and being able to talk to artists longer than the usual 10 minutes. This is the single, this is the album, this is the tour, and this is where you can download it and catch the information and gone. This has been, you know, a really great opportunity, and that's why internationally we've picked up stations everywhere, and it's just been great, and fans are really, really enjoying to hear a little bit more about what's going on with you guys. And
I love that.
Yeah, and that's what I really enjoy about this, and I have a really good way of being able to dig a little bit deeper and bring out those stories that are going to resonate with their lives, which is kind of cool. So the 13 songs on this one, 13 days, 13 songs is what you've got on your YouTube. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about that and choosing the songs that you have.
Why we chose those 13, or why we did the 13 songs, 13 days thing.
Let's do the 13 songs first, and then we'll talk about the 13 day, 13 songs.
Yeah. There's actually 14, because 13 was an unlucky number, but the 14th song wasn't credited. So if you listen to the 13th song on the record, it goes like, it says it's like 9 minutes long, but it's actually just 4 minutes long. And then there's a big space and an extra song, because we're just being superstitious about number 13, which is just neither here nor there. But as far as the songs, like in terms of how we chose them, I mean, it's just always the same way with us. Like, we kind of overwrite for every album. We have lots and lots of ideas and lots of stuff left over, and then we kind of just between the band members and the producers, we just pick what we feel is the strongest tunes, and then we go and we start there. And then it's like, it's as simple as like, what's the catchiest stuff, what's got the most memorable lyrics, what's got the better, like the riffs we remember, like, you know, it's a fine line between having something good but something that's memorable, you know, something that's like clever but not too clever, like it's you know, somewhere between being, you know, a little bit cerebral but very visceral, and making it so that you go, hey, this rocks, or this makes me feel good, or this makes me feel sad in a good way or something, you know. And the records just kind of, you know, they just kind of reveal themselves, because you just know when you're demoing and recording, if a song's like not really working, and you're just like, well, let's just ditch it and go work with something else. And we've gotten really good at knowing when to put something down for a bit, because there's been plenty of occasions where songs were written for certain records that didn't work, and we just put it on the back burner and revisited it like a couple years later, and then found a home for it. You know, even a couple songs in the record were like that. Like the last song on the record is called Can't Control Myself, which was like a song we'd written for Civilian Airs that I always thought was awesome. And no one gravitated towards it when we were making our Civilian Airs record. So we revisited it for Wanderer, and it just found a home, and it worked out real, real well. And so, yeah, that's.
When you guys make a new album, whose opinion matters to you the most?
Ah, that's a good question. I mean, it starts with, I think, the other guys in the band. Like, if I see that my brother and Jack and Chris and Jeff are like digging it, like if they're like, oh, that's really good, like that's a first sign that it's working out. Mm-hmm. That's a really good feeling. Like when you have an idea and you start playing it, and then it immediately kind of inspires something from one of the other guys. That's usually the sign that we're onto something good. Mm. On the other hand, I've had plenty of moments where I've come in with what I thought was like the best song I've ever written, and nobody reacts at all. That's fairly heartbreaking. Mm. But it's also necessary. Like I really trust
the
those
band.
Guys.
Yeah.
I trust their opinions. I trust their tastes. I like the kind of music they like, and they like the kind of music I like. So it's like, I trust that. And then obviously, like, it's always great, you know, when you send in your record or something and the guys at the label are like really freaking out, you know. Also, there's nothing worse than when you're finished your record, you send it in, and the label's like, oh, we don't really hear it. That's annoying. Luckily, that didn't happen on this one. But it's really good. And then obviously, like, you know, I've got friends, like some of my oldest friends that, you know, when they hear the record, like I'll often play the record before it comes out for my friends. And if they're really digging it, that makes me feel excited. And then, you know, the big test is the crowd. You know, mm-hmm. you start playing stuff. Like, and in fact, I think, you know, on this particular record, we did, you know, even at some of the drive-in shows we did because of the pandemic, we started playing songs like I Want to Play Live because it was already done and the reaction was already good. So that's a huge one. If people are just reacting without even having heard the song at all. So, yeah.
And it was a perfect song too, because let's talk about that one right now, because I Want to Play was just, you know, I think it was a year into the pandemic when you guys decided to do this one. Just the video itself, you know, when you're watching the video, it just brings it to life even more, because you can feel the feelings of what every single person, like if I'm listening to it and watching it now, I can feel exactly where I was a year ago.
Oh wow.
And it's that good. It's a really, really good song.
That video is one of my favorite ones we've ever made. I have to credit our drummer Chris Gormley with the idea. Like Chris always has these big grand ideas, and he was like, we should just see if we can get Cops Coliseum, I think now it's called Ontario Place, but in Hamilton, and do a video in a hockey rink to nobody on the ice. It'll be great. And we're like, okay, well, we'll ask, and they gave it to us. And then we cast the late great Bob Lanois in the role of the janitor. Bob,
that was so good. He was so good in the video.
Yeah, unfortunately, we lost him about a week after that video. He passed away.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, yeah. He was. He had some underlying. It wasn't COVID. He had some health issues that we weren't aware of, and he's. He's obviously his brother Dan Lanois is a very famous musician producer, but Bob is a genius. You know, he was like very, very, very talented, gifted man. He directed a bunch of music videos for like the Tragically Hip back in the 90s, like some of their Day for Night music videos. Mm-hmm. He was just a wild person, like just a one of a kind. And he was one of those guys that when you were talking to him, you felt like he was staring directly into your soul and seeing exactly who you were. And that could be overwhelming, but he was also just very brilliant. Like, to know him was to love him. And we got to do that. He did such a great job. And my favorite part of the whole.
I feel so sad about that. I did
not
know
I'm sorry to be the bearer. Yeah. And it happened like about a week after we shot the video too, which was really fucked up. And we started to feel like, you know, anytime we were trying, it sort of felt a little bit like we were just trying to do this good thing during the pandemic and with this beautiful guy from Hamilton. And then when it, for whatever reason, he was taken away from us, but he was really, he was really hilarious. And like, he showed up on set and I had gone out to buy two like onesie kind of janitor suits for the video. I had to go to I went all over the place to Walmart and bought these really big suits because I couldn't, at first I bought one that was too small, and I had to go back because I had to wear one and Bob had to wear one. And he just showed up and he just put on the janitor outfit and just went and he just killed it.
Yeah,
and my favorite part of the whole video is at the very end, he comes out and he And he's supposed to say, "What are you guys doing here?" And like, as if we snuck in to play a show. And I asked him on the way, I'm like, "Hey, Bob, can you just scream, 'What the fuck are you guys doing here on the way?'" And he was like, "I don't want to curse. I don't want to curse." I'm like, "No, just do it. It'll be so funny. We won't keep it. Just do it." And for the first one, and he did it. And all those laughs on the ice, that was our actual reaction, because I knew how funny that would be. And so he did that, and it was just so great. And
oh, God, love his soul. Oh,
yeah. Rest in peace, Bob. It was really, you know, I'm glad that we could do it. Basically, a giant video that was a tribute to him. Hamilton, a Hamilton legend at Cops Coliseum, and I'm going to hang on to that.
Let's play it right now. Here is the lead single, "I Want to Play," by Canadian rock and roll heavyweights The Trues, here on Music's Journey. That was the hit lead single, "I Want to Play," by Canadian rock and roll heavyweights The Trues. You know what? That's it even makes that video even more special for me. And I've met him a couple times with Gord, and gosh, I don't know how I did not know that.
Yeah,
did not know that.
Well, I mean, in everybody's defense, there's been nothing but kind of sad news for 2 years, so some things get lost in the fold. So but he'll be missed.
Yeah, and that was at the First Ontario place that you shot that one too. So yeah, that's pretty cool. Let's talk about your second single off of this one. Tell us about writing that.
Permission. Mm-hmm. Well, I think it was a great song that didn't get radio play for whatever reason. I Want to Play was like a top 10 hit for us, and whatever happened at the radio situation, I'm not sure, but it didn't get played as much as we had hoped, and I'm airing that grievance for the first time here. But I thought it was great, like a really visceral, great truth rock song. But I mean, I don't know. I'd say it's a crazy time, and you know, I don't take any of it for granted. I mean, it still works really well live. Everybody loves it, but for whatever reason, it was kind of came out at the wrong. It kind of came out right when we had to shut down again, and we were supposed to be promoting the tour. So that song is like, you know, I love that song. I think it's great. That's Rich Robinson on the guitar, on the lead guitar, and it was one of those songs that I had a verse written for another song, and Janangas had the chorus and the bridge part, and I'm like, this is great. I was going to put this verse here, and then we just raged. We went and, like, we played it in the studio like, you know, five or six times, kept the best take, and then just, you know, it rocks.
We're going to play it right now. Here is Permission by Canadian rock icons, The Trues, here on Music's Journey.
I get a feeling, grab my camera, it's a mismatch.
Was Permission, one of the singles off the new album Wanderer by rock icons The Trues. I love the guitar playing. I love the breaks. You know, he was playing a slide guitar in this one, wasn't he?
Yeah, that's. And the only problem is, like, I cannot play guitar like that. And Janangas plays the other lead, so it's like it does live. I, you know, we miss a little bit of that, but we are playing with the Black Crowes this summer. Maybe Rich will come out and play that with us. Well, we'll ask him to do that.
That'll be so awesome.
I'm not saying that's going to happen. I'm going to say we're going to ask him. So I don't want people thinking. Right?
It's going to be there.
Okay.
Okay. So talk about The Wanderer.
Like the song? Mm-hmm. That was a pre-pandemic song that we were writing. Like it was one of those like ones I wrote on my sofa at home, and then it was just kind of a boring song, and it was like one of those throwaway tunes I wasn't planning on keeping. And then John Angus and Chris Gormley, our drummer, came up with the idea to do that big time change between the verse and the chorus, which I think kind of made it really
cool.
And all of a sudden it started to really happen. And I love that stuff, you know, the art of discovery. All of a sudden you take something that's like, oh, this is just whatever. And then those guys go, yeah, but if you did this, and then all of a sudden it becomes something special. That's my favorite thing ever.
I love
and
that song.
It was very inspired by, we had opened for Rival Sons out in Vancouver, and in the summer of 2019, that was a couple of their tricks where they would kind of change the groove halfway through the tune, but it was very effective. It didn't sound too crazy of a change. It just kind of naturally fit. It just led to more energy, and that's great. And so that was that idea. Like basically, I was playing it for Janice and Chris, and they were just like, you know what, we should do that thing that the Rival Sons do, which is, you know, all the more reason why it's so important to keep checking out bands and listening to music and being inspired. You shouldn't be ripping them off, but you should definitely be inspired by what the good bands are doing, and be like, hey, let's do that thing. And then all of a sudden it becomes something else, you know? And I think that's really, that's kind of what the whole river of rock and roll and the river of music is all about. It's like taking a little bit from something and making it something else. And, you know, nature abhors a vacuum. So if you're too in your own little world, just doing your own little thing, and there's no room to like
be
inspired.
Grow. Yeah,
I think that's a bad idea. And I think that happens a lot these days. I think that like it's really important for bands to inspire one another, not to be like, oh, we're just doing our thing and you're doing your thing. It's like, no, it's all one big thing. Like there's a reason why music scenes come up and they're all so fertile, because everybody's kind of inspiring each other. Like in the 60s, all those great bands were trying to impress each other, outdo each other. They were taking from each other, like without like Revolver, you don't get Pet Sounds. Without Pet Sounds, you don't get Sgt. Pepper. You know, without the early Bob Dylan records, you don't get, you know, John Lennon starting to sing more interesting lyrics. And then without the Beatles and the Stones, you don't get Dylan going electric on Bring It All Back Home and Highway 61. It's all very, very interwoven. And sometimes with art and with music, when you get into these times where every band doesn't like each other and everybody's kind of just keeping to themselves, that's usually a sign that the music's not very good. So like I think that it's really important for bands to stay open and inspired by one another. And you know, like I went up and I sat in with the Glorious Sons the other night,
because
they had a show, they're great, and they had a show in St. Catharines. It was like 10,000 people, and I got up and sang a couple songs with Brett, and me, my brother did too, because my brother produced their first record. And they were great. It was like, it was just great. It felt great. It was rock and roll. Everybody was so into it. Like people were so impassioned, you know, just so committed to that band. Like Brett really sings from the heart. He really connects. And, you know, I went home after that game, like, whoa, man, like we got to go write some more songs. Like it made me feel like doing it, you know?
Nice.
And that's an important thing. And I think that gets lost. Like you gotta feel like doing it. Like, and I went and saw Daniel Romano the other night at the Casbah.
Oh, isn't he good?
He's phenomenal. He is. You know, I was like,
understated.
So cool. And it was called the Daniel Romano outfit. And I don't drink anymore, so like I know when a show's good or bad. Like you know when you can be drunk and everything's good. But I was like,
it's true.
Yeah, you know, like how many times have people taken quotes from me from a band like Robin drunk, like who's the best thing I've ever seen in my life? And I wake up the next morning like, oh no, I didn't mean that. No, but Daniel Romano was amazing, and it was like such a phenomenal show. And he played for 2 hours, and I was enthralled. And it once again made me wake up going like, oh man, I want to make sure, I want to feel after I see a band, I still want to feel that feeling of, I want to be a musician when I grow up, even though I'm old. I want to be like, oh man, this makes me want to, like, you know, skip school and go home and practice and be a musician when I get older. Like that feeling, that, mm-hmm. that young feeling that music brings you when it's done well.
It's so true, because when I see the people that I, you know, when I was growing up, it was like Bob Seger and Springsteen and Genesis, and, you know, like, yeah. there's just so many of them that really inspired me to love music and genre, you know?
Yeah. Bob Seger is like so incredible. Like when I hear him sing Night Moves, I mean, I know it's one of those songs that people take for granted, but like when you go back and think of a human being singing that mm-hmm. and like listen to him singing on Night Moves, and it's just transcendent. And it's like, that guy's just otherworldly amazing. And he's like one of those guys that's like, he's kind of underrated and massively successful at the same time. Mm-hmm. Like, but he's incredible. And like, I'm not saying he's like, he obviously sells tons of records. He's huge. But like, anyway, I just can't believe how great Bob Seger is.
He's always my favorite. So anytime I did the last show he did in Toronto, but I hear he's possibly going back on tour again, and I'll never miss it.
Yeah, well, I've never even seen him live, but I'm definitely going to go if he comes around again.
He's really good. Like, he still sounds really good. And it's the same thing as the Eagles. Like, I just batch those guys all together, you know, because it's just, I don't know. It never grows old for me.
Well, the reason it doesn't grow old is because it's like, it's all just based on great songs mm-hmm. and like great kind of timeless
stories.
And that stuff doesn't get old. That's why people still buy tickets to the Rolling Stones and Bruce Springsteen and Bob Seger, because the music is timeless. Mm-hmm. And that means it's going to work over time, because the themes are timeless, you know, and the voice is timeless. And like, it's not, and it's rare. Like, not every band's going to be that, but there's certain people that can tap into that, and it's magic.
Mm-hmm. Stand the test of time. I'm telling you, they got that place in life, you know, and music history. That all, it just goes on for generations. Same thing's Tragically Hip too.
And, absolutely.
Absolutely. Now let's talk about your brand new single that's off the album Enemy. I love this one too. It's great story to this one.
Yeah, it's my brother singing. It's his first outing singing on a true song, and he wrote it with his son. So Janangus's son Elliot, who's now 8, I think he was 6 or at the time, and it was, I think Elliot just literally said to my brother one day, because he's very, very talented, he's very into music, and I think he said to Janangus, I wanted to write a song about an enemy, like, I know what it's like to be the enemy or something. And that's literally where it started.
Based off the Marvel movies or something, right?
I think it was. Yeah, I think he was just like watching superhero stuff, and he was like, we need to write a song for the bad guy, or I don't know what it was. But so that was that. And it was like one of those songs that Janangus recorded his voice in the demo. Usually he'll record a vocal line and I'll record over it, because he does write a lot of songs. Mm-hmm. But this one, I just felt like he was the best guy for it. It just sounded really good with him singing it. And I remember being in the studio and Eric being like, oh, I thought, don't you sing all the songs? I'm like, yeah, but I don't want to, I feel like this needs to be sung by him. And it worked out. I thought it was great. And
love the video too. Absolutely love the video.
The video is super cool. And it made me think that, yeah, like it's kind of a strange, like it's my first time not being the lead singer on a Trues mm-hmm. song, but I kind of love it. And when it came out, I love the way it sounds on the radio, and I do too.
And
it's kind of a relief to not have to be singing for a change. You know what I mean? I'm singing a little bit backup, so I was kind of like, oh, you can deal with this one, Janae.
Well, it's just nice, because then you can be creative in a different way, and you know, you just never know what's going to come out of any of that, right?
Well, I agree, so. and it's also like, for a band that's been doing it as long as we have, I think shaking it up is necessary. It adds an excitement around the band. Mm-hmm. And we've always been pretty good at you know, coming up with something new and doing something different and pushing forward that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're going to play it for you right now. Here is the latest single, Enemy, by Canadian rock icons The Trues, here on Music's Journey.
Be set free.
That was Enemy, one of the singles, the latest singles off the new album Wander by rock icons The Trues. Don't forget, you can download this one, you can add it to your playlist, and you can also request it at your local rock station. I can't wait for you guys to be playing live and being able to see this whole album and just some of your classics coming out there too. So when do you start?
We start May 24th in Winnipeg.
And you end, what, August 19th or something?
Yeah, we're out. Like, basically, we're going to do our club tour right into, and it's going to roll right into the summer festival season. So it's all going to be all at once. Like, originally, it was going to be January, February, and then do the summer tour. But now it's all, yeah, we're going to do clubs, and then we're hitting the festival circuit in Canada. So, you know, knock on wood and all that stuff, and we'll be out till then.
You're going to have to do me a huge favor.
Yep.
When you are out on tour, okay, with the Weapons,
yeah,
got to play a practical joke for me.
Okay.
Okay. So I don't know if you guys are doing that anymore, but you gotta play one. Gotta play one.
Okay. No, but we always do that. Or do you have one in mind? You want to just make that
I'm gonna up? Think. I'm gonna think of one. But if I don't get that off to you guys, please do it, because I would love to have that videotaped.
Yeah, we're like, that's kind of our thing when we're on the road, for better or for worse. We're definitely like practical jokers. Sometimes they come back and hit us in the face. Like, I remember when Jeff first joined the band, we practical joked him all the time, but then we realized we unleashed this, like,
the enemy
practical joker. Yeah, the enemy. Enemy is about Jeff Hazel becoming a bigger practical joker than the rest of us.
Anyway. What's the best one you've played on the Weapons so far?
We haven't played any on those guys necessarily, but I remember, like, yeah, I mean, some of them I don't want to talk outside of school, but
come on, you gotta tell us.
I'm just trying to think of some of the practical jokes.
What's the best one you've ever played?
Well, I remember telling some of these stories of the pandemic. Like, I just left rehearsal and now my brain is a little bit foggy, but I'm trying to think, like, there's been some. I remember, like, the revenge one that, like, we, the first practical joke was the stupidest thing. It was just so dumb. And it was when Jeff first joined the band. Jeff used to be in a jam band called Bert Nielsen, and they were like kind of like Canada's answer to like Fish or something back in the late 90s, early 2000s.
Right.
And we were on tour opening for Ace Frehley from Kiss in America, and we were in like a night off in the middle of absolutely nowhere, like the Midwest, like I'm somewhere between, I don't know, we were somewhere in Missouri, I think. And we had a night off in a town that was like, I don't remember the name of the town. It was like, there was nothing there except for like the motel and like a Denny's or something, you know? So we just pretended, we're like, oh man, Jeff, it says here that Fish are playing at a club called the Funk House tonight. Like, this is how stupid. I'm almost embarrassed because this is a stupid joke. So this is like 2008. So it was still the time when, like, you know, you didn't think to just Google things right away. You know,
yeah.
We're like Jeff, like, man, like, Fish is like playing at a place called the Funk House. So there's this little town in the middle of Missouri that's got a Denny's and a motel, and for some reason has a club called the Funk House. Like, it's just. So we told him that, and he's like, oh man, like, and he goes on the internet, and he's like, I can't find the Funk House anywhere. Like, I wonder if it's a different name. And like, so Fish, the band Fish, I think we're broken up at the time. Then, like, they're going to get together and play this, like, nowhere. And we're just like, all just trying not to laugh.
Oh,
and,
God.
And then eventually, okay, so this is that's the first part. And like, okay, haha, Jeff realizes we're just a bunch of idiot practical jokers. And then he's like, okay, it's on. Like, basically, he's a very kind of cards close to his chest kind of guy. So we didn't, like, he just kind of, you know, resigned to get his revenge. And that's that. So a couple days later, we're opening for the Ace Frehley at some House of Blues in, I think, St. Louis. And we get off stage, we're unloading all our, you know, packing up our gear, all that stuff. And all of a sudden we see Ace Frehley's guitar tech screaming at Jeff. And we're like, oh shit, what happened? Like the guy's like in Jeff's face and he's like, I can't believe you did that, man. I can't believe you did that. And we're like, oh, holy, no. And he ran right over me. I'm like, what happened? What happened? He goes, and the guitar tech goes, this motherfucker broke Ace Frehley's number one guitar. That guitar's worth $50,000, and your keyboard player has to pay for it. And he broke it. We're like, oh no, we're sorry. And like, I think even at the time, like, he's a new guy, we'll fire him, don't worry about it, we'll just send him home. Like, we're just like it's so, I can't believe this guy broke Ace Frehley's like $50,000 Gibson guitar or whatever. And it was all bullshit. The guy was Jeff
Jeff put him up to it, and we were all nice. And the guitar tech goes like, "Gosh, yeah." We're like, "Oh, like so much relief." And then, but I'm like, "That is such a next level revenge move to go to like the headliner's guitar tech and say that you broke a $50,000 gold top 59 Les Paul or something." And we're like, all we did was say that a jam band was playing at a fake bar in some small town.
So you know not to mess with Jeff ever again.
Yeah, just to give you an idea of the breadth of some of these. Oh, and if you're looking for a really funny practical joke, there's one on YouTube. So, and we actually stole this idea from Rich Robinson, because, so basically, one of Rich's crew guys called Rich as a practical joke for a fake phone interview.
Right.
So basically it's like one of these things, but the guy on the other line is one of the crew guys. It's totally fake. And the questions start getting weirder and weirder.
So I love those.
We were on tour in England, and it was our old drummer, Sean, the original drummer for the band. And we got, and Jeff wasn't with us. We couldn't bring him on that tour. So we got Jeff to call Sean from Toronto as we were touring in the UK and pretend to be a drum magazine out of Germany called Drums Extreme. This is all on YouTube, by the way. And the audio is on YouTube. And basically, it's like Jeff puts on a really bad fake German accent. And he starts asking, just like, at first it's just normal questions. Like, "Oh, you're on tour right now?" He's like, "Yeah." Like, "Is it going well?" He's like, "Yeah." And he starts asking, like, "Which is your favorite drum?" Like, that kind of question. Like, "What do you mean drum? Like, what's your favorite drum? Like, the kick drum or the snare drum?" Like,
oh, my like Lord.
Just stupidest questions. And it gets worse and worse and worse as you go.
And I have to watch this.
It's really funny. It's like Drums Extreme, The Trues. It's something like that. So if your listeners are looking for a laugh, that is... that's one of them too.
Well, you got to play something on the weapons for me, because they had way too much time on their hands in the winter when I had them on last. And on Instagram, no, it was TikTok, that they were taping each other up.
Taping each other up?
Yeah, yeah. It was like, see who could cause the most pain.
Oh my God.
And I was like, okay. Way too much time on your hands.
That sounds kind of sadistic.
It was. But, and I'm sitting there going, okay, why didn't I think of that?
That's really funny.
It was really funny. It's just watching them and just that they were doing online, and it was just hilarious. I absolutely loved it.
That's great. Yeah, okay,
I'll
think of one. Yeah, we all need a laugh.
Yes. You'll have to tell me what you do. Oh, you'll have to tell me.
Well, if we do anything, we'll make sure to film it and put it on our social media, so it'll be out there.
Perfect. I'm challenging you guys.
See, okay.
Now you're done. See, I'm challenging you.
Prank challenge.
That's right. Yeah. Prank challenge. All right. So you guys are heading out on tour. I am so excited about now. You got your beer too. You guys designed a beer. Can't forget that. It's that time of year.
Yeah, it's our Trues Brew. No, it's not that. It's Trues Tone. And it's it came out with the Wanderer. It was through Nickelbrook, and it's I quit drinking a while ago, but by all accounts, it's a very good beer. My brother and Jack designed. I don't know how that works. Is it called designing the taste? They came up with what they wanted. And everybody loves it. So we're hoping to do another round of it. And we wanted to bring some on tour with us. We could sell it at the bars and stuff, but we'll hopefully we can do that.
Can anybody order it? Is it available in Ontario?
Yeah, I mean, it's the first round of it sold out. So we're just trying to get them to make some more.
Very cool.
I'd order it through Nickelbrook.
Okay.
And then, I mean, the dream would be to have it in all the LCBOs across the country.
Oh, very cool. Okay, two questions, if we can, for burning questions. And then I know you got to get going because you're so busy. Okay, what does success look like to you today in comparison to when you first started out chasing the dream?
The ability to continue, to keep making music.
Very cool. What is the one place, dream, anywhere, that you haven't played that you would love to play anywhere in the world?
Wembley Stadium.
Hmm.
But like with a full crowd. I don't want to play an empty Wembley Stadium, but like a Wembley Stadium with like all the people in it. That'd be great.
What is the biggest difference between Canadian audiences and anywhere else in the world?
For us, it's radio play. I mean, everybody knows our songs here. So people know it, and they're great, you know? But you know, I think Canadians are, they like to rock. You know, for a lot of years it was a big rock country. Like people liked to go out and rock out. You know,
nice.
I think that's what it is. And you know, Canadians are also like, you know, they're good, you know, nice, clean, crowds are nice. You know, they're not gonna like, they're gonna be nice to you for the most part.
Yeah. They don't turn. Once they're a fan, they're always a fan. And you guys put on one of the best live shows.
Yeah, I agree.
Absolutely. Well, congratulations on this album. My fave, absolutely, by far. And you guys have so many of them, but this one is my fave.
Okay, well, I'm so happy to hear that. Thank you for having me.
I am so looking forward to seeing you out on the road. You guys have a safe travel and can't wait for that practical joke challenge.
All right, we'll
Calling you out. Okay.
Take care.
Okay, take care, Colin. Don't forget you can download Wander on all of your streaming platforms. You can also add it to all your playlists. And don't forget you can request any of the songs that you love off the album at your local rock station. A great big thank you to my very special guest, Colin McDonald, for coming on the show. It is always great to see these guys and can't wait to see them play live. And you guys are in for a treat this summer. But boy, they got a great show planned for you guys. I've got some great shows coming up. I'll be interviewing Mark Jordan and Amy Sky. We got Miles Goodwin from the rock band April Wine, Andrew Hyatt, New Moon Junction, Justin Hogg, Sasha, Manny Blue, Carissa, Katie Topham, Lindsay L. We've got Sass Jordan, and that's going to be an amazing interview. We've got Katie Hurt, Dustin Collin, and so many more. You can check out all my podcasts for all the artists that you do not want to miss at musicsjourney.com. You can also check out the articles that I write on all the artists that you know and love with all of the latest music, videos, and reviews at nowandthenmagazine.com. Well, that's it for me, your host, Kim Sear. Thank you so much for tuning in to Music's Journey, and have yourselves a wonderful evening. We'll catch you here next time on Music's Journey.
It's okay talking to yourself. It's when you start answering that you should be wary. History never repeats itself. You're hoping in spite of evidence to the contrary.
The world.